Good morning, everyone. Good to be back this morning to bring to you the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, may you speak to us your Word this morning and help us not just be hearers of your Word alone, but Lord, that we may be doers of your Word also, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, I heard about this following story. I did not know that this was a true story until I read it again. And this long story was about a 9-year-old boy who lived in a rural town in Tennessee. His house was in a poor area of the community, and there was a church that had a bus ministry, and the pastor driving the bus came knocking on the door one Saturday afternoon. And the kid came and answered the door and greeted the pastor. The pastor asked if his parents were home, and the small boy told him that his parents usually, almost every weekend, took off and leave him at home to take care of his little brother. And the pastor couldn't believe what the kid said, and the pastor asked him to repeat again, and the boy gave the same answer. And the pastor asked whether he could go in and talk to him. And they went into the living room and sat down on an old couch with the foam and the spring exposed. And the bus ministry pastor asked the kid, "Where do you go to church?" And the young kid surprised him by replying, "I've never been to church in my whole life." And the pastor was surprised because his church was less than 3 miles away from this boy's house. "Are you sure? Are you really sure you have never been to a church before?" And he asked again and again, and the young boy said, "I sure haven't been to a church before." And then the bus ministry pastor said, "Well, son, this is more important than going to church. Have you heard of the greatest story ever told?" And he then proceeded to share the gospel with this little young boy, 9-year-old. And his heart began to soften. And at the end of his sharing, the bus ministry pastor asked the boy whether he wanted to receive the free gift from God. And the boy loudly exclaimed, "Yes, yes, I want to." And then the pastor and the young boy got on their knees. And the boy invited Jesus Christ into his little heart and received the gift of salvation. And then they both stood up, and the pastor asked if he could pick him up the next morning and to take him to the church. "Sure," the 9-year-old boy replied. And early the next morning, the bus ministry pastor got to the house and helped this boy and his little brother to dress up. And then they got on to the bus. They ate a donut on the way to the church for breakfast. Now, keep in mind that this boy had never been to church before. And this church he went to was really a big one. And the little boy just sat down there and clueless of what was going on. And a few minutes into the service, he saw some guy walking out to the front and to pick up the wooden plate. Now, one of the men prayed, and then the boy, with utter fascination, watched them walk up and down the aisle, and he still didn't know what was going on, but all of a sudden, like a bolt of lightning, it hit the boy what was actually taking place. These people must be giving money to Jesus. And then he reflected on the free gift of life that he had received just 24 hours earlier. And he immediately searched his pocket from front and back, and he couldn't find anything at all to give to Jesus. And by the time he was searching for money, the offering plate was being passed down to his aisle, and with a broken heart, he just grabbed the plate and he held on to the plate. And he finally had to let go and watch it pass down the aisle with his eyes glued to the plate as he was passed on back and forth, all the way to the back of the sanctuary. And then he had an idea. This little 9-year-old boy in front of God and everybody, he got out of his seat. He walked back to the back of the church, about 8 rows to the back, and he grabbed the usher by the coat and asked if he could hold the plate one more time. And then he did the most astounding thing that we have ever heard of. He took the plate, he laid it on the carpeted church floor, and he stepped into the center of the plate. And as he stood there, he lifted up his head and he said this word: Jesus, I don't have anything to give you today, but just me. I give you me. As I read through this story again, I was in tears. It was really such an exciting testimony to share. No, brothers and sisters, what does Jesus expect of each and every one of us? Would we be able to say to Jesus, like this young boy, Jesus, I don't have anything to give you today, but just me, I give you me. Let's send your Bible this morning, looking at John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, as we continue our study in the book of John, the Gospel of John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. And here we read in verse 1, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, and he was the one that Jesus raised from the dead. And according to Mark chapter 14 verse 3, the home that Lazarus lived did not belong to him. It was the home of Simon the leper. And I think that it is quite possible that Simon was the father of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. How did I come to that conclusion? One, it is correct that the home that Lazarus lived did not belong to him. It was the home of Simon the leper. And this is saying, let me just give you an example. The home that my two boys live in does not belong to them. It's the home of Pastor John. That's true. Okay, they both live in the same house with me, but I'm the father, I'm the owner, and I can chase them out, but they can't chase me out. And then two, who else is mentioned in the home? Lazarus' elder sister, Martha. And what was she doing? She was cooking. She was preparing dinner in honor of Jesus and to thank Jesus Christ for raising a brother, Lazarus, from the dead. Now, you don't simply go to somebody's house to prepare dinner for your guests, right? And then three, who else is mentioned in the home? Lazarus' second sister, Mary, Martha's younger sister. And what was she doing? The Bible here tells us that she poured an expensive alabaster jar of perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. No, you don't simply go to somebody's house to do that, right? If it is your house, if it is your own house, you can do anything you like and nobody can stop you. And moreover, Mary need to clean up and enjoy the dinner after wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. If it is somebody's house, it would be hard for her. And these three reasons are logical. And it is clear that Simon the leper, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus belong to one big family, and they all live together in this house. I brought this up because I want to set the stage for the dinner. It was held in Simon the leper's house, and his three children were also there, Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. And I brought that up also because there was another time a similar incident happened in Luke chapter 7, so that you don't confuse the story with the account of the woman Luke described for us as a sinner, because it is two different incidents. So coming back here to this incident in John chapter 12, first of all, you would never eat dinner at the leper's house unless the leper had been healed. If he wasn't, it might mean a whole new thing if you ask him while having dinner to pass you something. Can you please pass me the meatball, please? Or can you pass me the ya jia guai? You know? So the fact that they were at Simon's house, Simon the leper, points to his healing. He was healed. And Simon literally owed his life to Jesus Christ, his guest. And then two, another guest, Lazarus, also was there at the dinner, and he also owed his life to Jesus Christ. And in the previous chapter, in the last sermon, we looked at where was Lazarus. He was in the tomb. So these two guys, Simon and Lazarus, the father and son, must have a lot in common to share, to talk. Yes, the dinner must have been great, fantastic, but the fellowship and the sharing must have been even greater. Simon the leper must be thankful for Jesus for healing him, and Lazarus must be thankful to Jesus Christ for raising him from the dead, while Martha and Mary must be thankful to Jesus for his love for the family. And I would love to be invited to that dinner to hear their testimonies and especially maybe ask Lazarus over the dinner, how come you come out of the tomb when you were all wrapped up? Did an angel carry you out of the tomb? Or can you remember what happened to you during the 4 days inside the tomb? I would have many questions to ask him. And I'm sure many of you would love to be invited for that dinner as well. And it must have been a good time, a great time, eating and maybe drinking too, and laughing and teasing and making fun of each other. Now, by the way, it is okay to laugh and to tease each other. Our Christian life is not meant to be dull and boring. No, I've shared many times that when I first came to the church, I was a very naughty, mischievous, playful boy. No. When I was a youth leader 40 over years back with Cal Baptist Church, managing 100 over young people, you know, I was a very naughty, mischievous leader, youth leader. You know, I still remember 42 years ago, there was this young boy who came from Pahang to our church, and he does not speak a word of Chinese, totally banana, cannot even speak a word of Chinese. And we all make fun of him, we laugh at him, we tease him, and so one day he boldly come to me and he said, "Ensing," that's my name when I was a youth leader of the church 40 old years ago. He said, "Ensing, can you teach me a few words in Chinese?" So I taught for a while and I said, "Well, why not?" So I actually taught him a few words in Chinese. And I said to him, "Ngo mleng zai ngo ho ham sap." And I translated to him, "I am handsome and hardworking." He actually believed me. And then one day, out of the blue, he went out to the front during our young people's meeting and he told the people, don't you ever laugh at me that I do not know a word of Chinese. And he said to the people, "Listen to me. Ngo mleng zai ngo ho ham sap." Can you imagine what actually transpired during the service where everybody was laughing at him, and because of that, he remembered me for life. How good to be remembered for life. You know? And there were a few times, even when I was doing my theological study in Australia, you know, you go to the seminary, it's so dull, it's so boring. You just study the Bible all the time. You know, there was a break during our school term. I collected, I think, about 33 clocks from the student. Not letting them know what's the purpose. I just say, "Just lend me your clock, your small clock, just for a day." And all during the term while we were all washing the school and cleaning up, I went to the girls' dormitory. I hiked all the 33 clocks in the ladies' dormitory. And I set the time to 1 a.m., 1:10, 1:30, 1:40, 2 o'clock, 2:30, until 6 a.m. Can you imagine what happened during that night? 30 over alarm clock went ringing in the dormitory, waking up all the students to find the clock. No, that's how mischievous I was. And that time, it's okay. You know why? Because I was not a pastor yet. Okay. So before you become a pastor, you want to be mischievous, you do it before. But also, to be fair, I did that on them, but they have their revenge. They actually hired three brothers from their church. I do not know them. At midnight, they were hiding in the bathroom next to my room. My room was next to the bathroom, and I came back about 11:30. I was attending the OCF in Australia. I came back. I opened my door. The moment I opened the door, I switched on the light. These three guys, strong Australian guy. I've never seen them before. They pushed me inside my room, and we have a struggle, a fight there because they are so strong. And they managed to pin me down on my bed. You know what they do? They did to me. They tied me with rope, used a handkerchief to cover my mouth. And then once they done that, they switched off the light and locked my door. I used my leg to kick the wall, hoping to wake up my neighbor, who is a Korean student, and he could not wake up. And know what time they came and to rescue me? The next morning. You know, those were the days. Also, again, it was before I became pastor. So it's okay. Okay. So these were times that we were very mischievous, playful. So I want to let you know it's okay. You know, as a church, we come to the church, we should not be solemn. And people say, you go to the Baptist church, it's like attending funeral service. Why? Because every one of you are so solemn looking. And they tell you go to the charismatic church because it's like going to a wedding. But when you go to the Baptist church, it's like attending a funeral service. No, this is not a funeral service. You're coming to church to worship the God who is alive, a God who is working and alive, and we should be rejoicing. And so I want to say to you, it's okay to laugh. It's so okay to teach one another, and our Christian life is not meant to be dull and boring. That time that we should be serious, but there are also time for us to relax. All work and no play make us a dull Christian. No, then something truly great took place. And Mary entered the room. He brought Jesus, a God-honoring offering. If you look at verse 3, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And immediately in verse 4, one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, was later to betray Jesus, objected. He was quick to rebuke Mary. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Was Judas genuine? Was he really interested to give the money to the poor? Now, let's read on in verse 6. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Judas was the treasurer of the group. He was a thief and had the habit of stealing money from the money bag. And the other disciples did not know that Judas was a devil. He was a crook. And I'm sure you have the same question that I have when you read this text. Why was he chosen as treasurer when he was a thief? Someone who had the habit of stealing, isn't there another better treasurer? Well, our study this morning is not about him. Our study this morning is not about this treasurer, not about this thief, not about him stealing money, so I will not spend time on him. Our focus today is on Mary, who took about a pint of pure nard and expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Yes, we look at this text here, we notice that Judas was quick to rebuke her, but Jesus Christ was just as quick not to rebuke her, but to honor her. And we have to refer to Mark chapter 14, verse 9, where Jesus said her gift, her selfless act, will be remembered forever. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Isn't that wonderful to be remembered forever for the good thing we have done? know, oftentimes people remember us for the bad things we have done, and the familiar phrase that we Chinese like to use is, I will remember you for life. Remember you for what? Remember you for cheating. Remember you for lying. Remember you for not lending me money when I was poor, was in trouble, for owing me money. You know, I know of a close brother, Christian brother, who loved the Lord, and each time we gathered together to talk and fellowship, and he would again tell me about an incident a Christian brother in his church did to him almost 40 years ago. And he's now in his early 80s, and yet he can still remember. And just recently, I was having dinner with a couple who shared with me that his father, for 30 over years up to now, had not forgiven him. You know, he has not done anything wrong. What actually happened was the father supported him to do study in United States. Upon completing of his studies, he came back, and he had the call of God to go into full-time. He went to talk to the father, who is a Christian, who was our church board member, and he said that, I have a call from God to go into full-time ministry. He was expected his father give blessing and would be very happy to say, son, great, go all the way, study and become God's servant and be used by God. You know, the father then scolded him and give him a piece of his mind over my dead body. I sent you to study in the United States, and I paid for all your fees. If you want to go into full-time ministry, you have to pay me back every dollar and cent to make up for all the money I paid for you to study in the United States. And then because the son have a very sure calling from God to go into full-time, he refused to obey his father, and from that moment onward, that's 30 over years ago, the father have hated him, and up to now, the father remained to be unforgiving. 30 over years. And this young boy already married with grandchildren, and the father have not met up with the grandchildren to physically hug them. Why? Because of this hatred. 30 over years, unforgiving spirit. And he's now in his mid-80s. Can you believe that? A Christian brother, a board member of our church as well. Now here Jesus said of Mary, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Her deed, her love for Jesus Christ would be a blessing to believers all over the world for centuries to come. Her story, Jesus said, in memory of her, is still being passed on today. And this morning, I want to share with you these four facts about God's honoring sacrifice, her extravagant love from this story. Just as she did this for Jesus, let us look at it as a way we can do something special for Jesus. Facts number one. Extravagant love is precious to us in the first part of verse 3. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard and expensive perfume. She poured on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. You see, an offering that honored the Lord must first of all be something dear to us, not our leftover. What Mary did here when she offered and brought her offering to Jesus, it was precious to her. She brought an equivalent of 1 year's salary, and she poured it on Jesus. And to her, she would not give to the Lord that which cost her nothing. And maybe to us here this morning, we look at her giving. We may say that her giving may be beyond what we may have thought as more than reasonable. It's good enough, but not to Mary. She gave her best, her very best. She gave her expensive perfume. She gave what was precious because Jesus Christ was worth much more, so much more to her. And more importantly, she was showing her devotion to Jesus before it was too late. She was giving the roses while he was still alive instead of bringing them to the funeral. No, I like this poem, and every one of you must listen to this poem. When I'm dead, you will send flowers, but I won't see. Why not send them now instead? Or when I'm dead, you praise me in the obituary, but I won't hear. Why not praise me now instead? You know, that was what Mary was doing. Could that be the same be said of us here this morning? And have we given anything to God recently? Recently and not later or until we come to the end of our journey? Have we given anything to God recently? Not because we expected to, but because we wanted to. Have we given anything to God which causes something and not something that is extra or left over? A God-honoring sacrifice will cause us something that is precious to us. Fact number two, extravagant love is pleasant to others. Second part of verse 3, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Did you see that? The whole house was filled with the fragrance, not just the living room or the dining room or the kitchen, but in all the rooms as well, which they were seated. Mary's gift had an effect on everyone who was present, and sooner or later, everyone would know what had been offered. And I believe that even those outside would also know what had been offered within. And again, could that be the same be said of us today? When we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, the aroma is powerful. The fragrance is strong. The smell is pleasant to others. Remember that this perfume is an expensive perfume. It gave out a very strong fragrance. It was lasting and not the cheap perfume that we can buy that only lasts maybe for less than 30 minutes. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 that to us spread everywhere the fragrance, for we are all to God, the aroma of Christ. So the question we should ask is, can people smell the aroma of Christ in us? When we give our very best to God, the aroma will draw people to Him. When we show love and mercy and kindness and generosity, the aroma is attractive. When we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, the aroma will cause heart to soften. And also we have to ask ourselves, can people smell the aroma of Christ in our churches? When a congregation is made up of committed Christians who are willing to give up everything they have to Jesus, the aroma is inviting. When the congregation is made up of loving Christians who love one another, care for one another, and forgive each other, the aroma is unbelievable. When a congregation is made up of understanding Christians who look not on their own interests, but also to the interests of others, the aroma is appealing. And so what aroma, fragrance are we giving out? And I pray and hope that it is pleasant so that even those people outside of this church building be drawn to the fragrance within us. And they smell something beautiful. They smell something good inside this building. There is love. There is peace. There is joy and forgiveness. There is care and there is understanding. Brothers and sisters, when God's people give the very best to Him, the aroma draw people to Him. It will be pleasant to them. And let us not wait for someone else to do it before we do it, just like Mary did. Let us encourage one another with our own sacrifice. A God-honoring sacrifice is not just precious to us, it is pleasant to others as well. And then three, extravagant love is perplexing to some. If you look at John chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money's bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? No, we would read this story and think that everyone who saw what Mary did would be happy, they would be blessed, and they would be encouraged, and they would give thanks to God for her example. Well, I'm sorry to say that not everyone is blessed when others give to God extravagantly. Even something beautiful and fragrant to God can be disgusting to some people. You look at Judah's statement here, it sounded so spiritual. He sounded so noble. He sounded so upright. And why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? And I like how John unmarked his hypocrisy in verse 6. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And today we have to admit that there are some Judas Christians around, and they are everywhere, all over the churches, and in every Protestant denomination, and they are also in our church as well. And these are people who speak spiritual, sound spiritual, and maybe act spiritual, and they will say, I don't give my tithes because the church leaders do not know how to use the money. I don't give to mission because I don't see any result. I don't serve because the church does not have any vision. I don't like the church to spend money on the air conditioning. Why not use the money to help the poor? Or they say our church is spending too much money on building, and they should be spending the money on mission field. And these are the people who sounded holy, spiritual, and even noble. But they are like Judas here, who is a hypocrite behind their statement and even intention and lies, because they don't give their offering. They pretend to be a giver, and you know who you are, seated with us inside here this morning as well. Did you notice the damage that Judas did? Mary's sacrifice has drawn the attention of the people on the Lord Jesus Christ, but Judas, by his spiritual arrogance, turned the people's attention away from the Lord. He was not in love with the Lord. He was in love with himself. And for 30 pieces of silver, Judas would later betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And to this day, our extravagant love for God will still be perplexing to some people. We will still be misunderstood and criticized even for the very good thing that we do, and even when we give our best to the Lord. But I want to say this to you, don't let that stop us. Keep serving, keep giving, keep loving, keep sacrificing, and keep forgiving. Because at the end of the journey, it is more important to hear from our master this word, well done, good and faithful servant. Do not let this criticism and misunderstanding stop us from doing what we need to do and want to do to show our extravagant love to our master. And then finally, Facts 4, extravagant love is pleasing to Jesus. Verse 7, leave her alone. The only voice heard in favor of what Mary did that night was the only one that matters. And Matthew chapter 26, verse 10 tells us here, when Jesus heard what Judas and the other disciples said about Mary, he responded to them and said, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Did you see that? Brothers and sisters, when we really give our gift to God, God knows it. Or when you don't give, God also knows it, because you cannot hide from Him. Jesus emphasized the fact that Mary's gift was for Him. She has done a beautiful thing to me, Jesus said. And if that is so, then nothing, whether big or small, that we give to Jesus will ever go unnoticed by Him. Because in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it tells us that God is not unjust. He will not forget our works and the love that we have shown Him as we have helped His people and continue to help them. Isn't that encouraging? To know that the things that we give to God, not just our money, but our time and also our service and our faithfulness, will not be forgotten. God will not forget our works. He will not forget the love that we have shown to Him. He will not forget that we have helped His people. He will not forget that we have helped His church and continue to help them. Not just humanly, we want people to know. We want people to remember. And we want people to not forget our works, our love, our kindness. But what is most important is that God is pleased. God is pleased when He receive something from us that is precious to us. So, brothers and sisters, what does Jesus expect for us? To do what we can. To do what we can regardless of criticism. To do what we can from a heart of love. To be like Mary here, who took center stage only 3 times in Scripture, and each time she is actually at the Lord Jesus' feet. Luke chapter 10, 38, 42, she sat at his feet to hear his word. And John chapter 11, 32, she knelt at the feet in sorrow over the death of her brother Lazarus. And this time, in John chapter 12, verse 3 here, she brings her offering, poured on Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. And what a wonderful place to be found at Jesus' feet. And perhaps this morning we should ask ourselves if we have been there lately. Or have we been too busy? Have we been too proud? Or have we been too self-reliant? Let us be Mary this morning. Give our extravagant love to Jesus. Something that is precious to us. Something that is pleasant to others. Something that is maybe perplexing to some. And most importantly, pleasing to Jesus. Let us do it. Let us apply. Let's pray. Father, help us, we pray, that we be like Mary this morning to give our extravagant love to Jesus. Something that is precious to us, pleasant to others, and perplexing to some, but most importantly, Lord, is pleasing to you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.